Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord you've been able to make time in your schedule to join me as we continue on in a message perfect in heart. And I'd like to read the King James translation of Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Another translation puts it this way: the Lord looks deep inside people and searches through their thoughts. He knows, in spite, no matter what we might say to others or what we might even say to fool ourselves, He knows the truth. He knows our motivations. He knows our deepest thoughts and attitudes. And God is looking. He's searching our hearts. The scripture, the text that I'm sharing with you is what the Lord told Asa. The eyes of the Lord rove to and fro throughout the whole earth to prove Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward me. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we just made a quick reference to Eli, if you remember. He was the high priest when Samuel was but a child, and because Eli honored his sons more than the Lord, he allowed them to lay with the women at the door of the tabernacle, to take the best of the offerings, to do things that they should have, that they had no fear of God. And as a result, that his line was not to be continued. And God raised up Samuel to be the leader of Israel, who was a priest and was taught in the ways of the Lord and showed Israel what was good for them, the way in which to walk. And so in Genesis 18:25, the word tells us, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He is a God who hates sin, but He loves mercy and justice and those who are walking in righteousness before their God. In Matthew, the New Testament, the 10th chapter, verse 37, Jesus said, now this is a fairly strong statement, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's the closest of relationships that we could have, aside from our spouse, our father, our mother, our children. And yet, if we love them more, you see, that was the amazing thing, how God was so pleased with the sacrifice of Isaac, Abraham, willing to offer his son. And just before the knife was plunged into him, he stopped. An angel stopped him, and he said, "Now that I know you fear the Lord." And he was demonstrating that as much as they had waited so long for that child of promise, and when he came, then he was yet willing to, you know, sacrifice his son, knowing that God could raise him up if he so desired. But of course, God didn't allow that. And so in 2 Chronicles 15:17, I'd like to, this is a paraphrase of the Living Bible, "Over in Israel, the idol temples were not removed, but here in Judah and Benjamin, the heart of King Asa was perfect before God throughout his lifetime." Now, because we're going to be looking at how his life ended, which was not in the happiest of terms, but we want to understand perfect in context. Being perfect before God means that he only worshiped the true God of Israel. There was no idolatry. He might not have been perfect in his heart attitude or his actions, but his heart, he did not serve any other God. So what does it mean to be perfect? Most of us probably have some conception, but according to Webster, the dictionary, the first meaning is to be without fault or defect. And this is John speaking in 1 and 8. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And chapter 9, verse 20 says, if I justify myself, my own heart shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Okay, so we cannot say we're without fault or defect or sin. A second meaning of that means exact or precise, like a precise or perfect measurement. And then thirdly, it means complete. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's an example. So, what are some scriptural examples of perfection? Now, we do understand that no man, there was only one who was perfect without sin, and that is Jesus in his flesh and as the living God. But in the book of Job, that book begins by describing Job as a, quote, perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means shunned or avoided evil. And in fact, in verse 8, the Lord himself calls Job perfect. And then another example found in Genesis 2, we see Noah. It says he was a just man and perfect in his generations. And then David, of course, a man after God's own heart. Hear what 1 Kings 11 and 4 said. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. See, that's the distinguishing thing, to seek after other gods. The worst form of idolatry and adultery, if you will. Adultery and not being faithful to God. And it goes on to say in that verse, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And the sad thing, and as he started out in his kingship at the dedication of the temple, because he was given that responsibility and privilege of building that first temple, in 1 Kings 8:61 it says, he is saying, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, speaking to his people of Judah, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. And then another reference in 2 Kings 20 and 30. This is King Hezekiah. He's on his deathbed. Isaiah gives him a word, you know, put your house in order because you're going to die. And Isaiah is, you know, leaves him, and he turns his face to the wall and he prays. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now, how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And of course, we know before Isaiah got out, well, he turned around and God gave a message, and he extended Hezekiah's life by 15 more years. The Lord God commanded Israel that they should not do after the abominations of the nations that surrounded them. In Deuteronomy 18 and 13, it says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And you remember a while back I preached on that, what Jesus said, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So this is just not an Old Testament command. It is something that is continued on as a theme throughout the New Testament. Perfection, therefore, is attributed not only for righteous works, but primarily for the attitude of their heart. And beloved, that's how our hearts can be perfect before God, because we desire with everything in us not to sin, not to cause hurt and sorrow to the living God, but that he would be pleased with us. And so, as I've shared out of those Old Testament saints, there was a singleness and there was a wholehearted purpose in their lives in serving the living God. All right, so let's now go to the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and I'll read the first 6 verses of chapter 16. All right, so God blessed Asa. He did all these reforms. He removed his very mother from being queen mother because she had set up an idol. And it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah to build Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and set the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off the building of Ramah and let his work cease. And so what happened then, Asa, the king of Judah, carried away all the stone, did everything that they had built up, they took it down. and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. And so here was a similar situation before. He was threatened by a million-man army, the Ethiopians, and here it is the king of Israel. And so he hires Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to go into league with him, break the league that he had with Baasha, and give him victory. And that's what occurred. Baasha retreated and stopped building Ramah. Well, my time has just flown by, and we will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast, and I'll give you a summary just by way of review when we do that. I do thank you for joining me, and as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. There are times we all need someone's hands to hold us up, just like Moses needed Aaron and Ur for victory to be given. We all need help from the Lord. In fact, God quickened to me as I was thinking about Jesus's walk to Calvary as he was carrying the cross. Even his humanity, the weakness of his flesh, failed him. And so Simeon was called to help bear his cross, an indication that we need human hands at times to help us. Our help comes from the Lord, but he wants us to be interrelated and interdependent upon one another for his purposes. Well, I love you. I thank you for joining me, and we'll just continue on tomorrow's broadcast. God bless you. I love you. Pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Oh.